This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Carl says, "Oi." Ben's contrarian view of Happy Gilmore is as bad as the Karate Kid takes where Daniel-san was the bully, shaking my head. Robert says, Ben's explanation of Shooter from Happy Gilmore is the best thing to ever happen on radio.
It's just proof you cannot please them all.
You win some, you lose some.
You win some, you lose some.
But I loved Shooter. I hated David Sims, Don Johnson's character.
Oh, he was smarmy.
Could not stand him. I like Shooter, though. I liked him the whole movie. I never really disliked Shooter. How can you be the villain without really, truly becoming that dislike? I empathized with him.
He empathized. He does not like the young upstart coming in and making a mockery of
the
game.
You made a great point during the break. Grandma was a criminal, too.
Yeah.
She didn't pay her taxes. We're supposed to root
30 years she didn't pay her mortgage or something.
Guy who commits, you know, felonious assaults every other minute in the movie.
But the movie overall, you liked it or you didn't like it?
It wasn't that bad. It was actually pretty good.
Did you chortle?
I did chortle. As I said earlier, I don't know why, the homeless caddy.
You love homeless humor. That's like your behind the scenes guys, the homeless jokes he tells her.
Kevin Nealon's quarter is the Walmart pocket.
Puts it in his pocket. So good. Paul, think about all the homeless jokes Ben tells in here.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. You can't stop him.
It's offensive.
If you ever did an open mic night, it would just be homeless jokes, Ben. Homeless humor. Well.
Did you like Ben Stiller's arts and craft? Ben Stiller, uncredited,
genius,
did a nice job in that film.
So
as well.
Funny, yeah. So funny. Yeah, now your back's gonna hurt. You just pulled landscaping, dude.
I did like the miniature golf payoff at the end. Going, you know, trained miniature golf. The whole, you know,
Carl Weathers was amazing.
The alligator in the hand was a little bit much, just over the top.
It's supposed to be. Again, I said it yesterday. Not every movie is the color purple. They don't all have to be so serious. Let yourself go.
Roger says, phenomenally good take on Happy Gilmore. Shooter McGavin is the hero of that movie.
He's great. He's great in that movie. Great in that movie.
Now, he's not a criminal for the most part, unlike the supposed protagonist.
Fair enough. That's actually fair enough.
All right, we will talk to Shooter McGavin coming up here at 8:35, 25th anniversary of Happy Gilmore. This week, I saw him doing a national show yesterday. Brought Adam Sandler with him. We didn't invite
Paul,
Adam.
Paul, you didn't get Adam either?
We only invited Shooter. Why would you want to talk to Adam when you can get Christopher McDonald?
He's so good. So good.
Yeah. So first, though, it is time to wrap up week one of our Tier 1 tour.
Look at us.
Previewing every Major League Baseball team. We'll wrap up the AL East today. All right, well, we have gone through the rest. It is time to discuss the defending division and American League champion Tampa Bay Rays today in our Tier 1 tour of baseball. Nuts and bolts, Rays went 40-20 last year, 2020, advanced to the World Series.
Monster year.
Where they lost in six games, you might remember, to the Los Angeles Dodgers. They were actually leading in Game 6 with Blake Snell throwing an absolute masterpiece on the mound when Kevin Cash took him out and it all unraveled from there. But they have made the playoffs the past two seasons, and interestingly, they've improved their winning percentage each of the past five seasons. So complete upward trajectory for the Rays. Is this the year that streak comes to a halt, though? Because 40-20, that's a .667 winning percentage. Hard to beat that.
Yeah, I don't think they're a playoff team
anymore.
Right, anymore. And again, here's the
problem. Are you sure?
Well,
are you sure?
I've thought that before, and they've gone out.
I mean,
and,
they lost Blake Snell, but they always seem to find ways to replace the guys that they trade away. This is what the Rays do, Woods.
Yeah, they do that, man. And they're a hard team to dislike. They've got a lot of guys that have kind of bucked the analytics, if you will. And then there's guys that are analytic, you know, warriors for that team. But there are some really cool stories on the team. One guy to watch, for sure. Randy Arozarena. Like, I think after we had the conversations, like, is this a flash in the pan? Is he going to... I kind of lean towards the guy's going to hit 230 this year.
I think that's the biggest question. If Randy Arozarena carries over what he did in the playoffs, he's a rookie, still a rookie.
He had 29 hits in the postseason, for the love of God.
I mean, he's an American League MVP candidate then. Or does he do what almost every other baseball player in history has done and going to cool off and show that he's mortal here in 2021.
Now, you go through the guys that are probably going to be on the opening day roster. Catcher, Mike Zunino, Francisco Mejia, old friend alert.
Wow.
Has a good chance of being the backup there or get a lot of playing time because they mix and match a lot. First base, the great G-Man Choi. Hard to hate G-Man Choi unless you're Garrett Cole. Then you really hate him because he owns Garrett Cole. Brandon Lau.
Lau had a very good season last year.
Until the playoffs. Until he forgot how to hit a baseball almost entirely. Willie Adames at short. Yandy Diaz. Joey Wendell. Michael Brousseau, utility guy. You've got the outfield of Arozarena. Kevin Kiermaier, who's getting up there. Manny Margot and Austin Meadows. So they actually
had a good playoff run.
He did. Austin Meadows is a young superstar in waiting as well. And then you get to the pitching rotation, and it's always hard to count the Rays out because they always seem to find some good pitchers. Tyler Glasnow is going to lead that rotation. Ryan Yarbrough is good. Chris Archer, they went out and got an old friend. Yeah.
Yeah, he has kind of struggled after he left Tampa. Can he re-find whatever was working for him when he was with the Rays? That'll be a big key to their season.
They went out and got Michael Wacha as well.
Cardinals,
and they signed,
I remember him.
Dick Mountain. Rich Hill. Remember him?
And then, I don't know, will Luis Patino make his way into their rotation this year? As, you know, obviously rising young star. And they're very good at picking prospects from other teams, generally, in these trades. They like Patino a lot. He was the one they wanted in the Blake Snell trade. So we'll see what kind of impact he has on the Rays.
Bullpen's going to be solid, as it always is. Diego Castillo, Pete Fairbanks, all those guys we saw in the postseason. I mean, they're going to come back ready to roll. So, yeah, they're going to be there in the AL East, Benny. They're that kind of, now I think this year, going to be that fly buzzing around. Like, they're going to be tough to beat. I don't think they have the sticks to get there. But, you know, they surprise me seemingly every year.
We will shift gears to the AL Central next week. And on Monday, I know everyone's been waiting for what we think about the Detroit Tigers, everybody.
Strap
a lot
in.
Of demand for that.
And
one.
Their manager, Woodsy's very, very favorite person in all of baseball, AJ Hinch. No? Sorry. You know,
I'm saving my hot take.
The AL East is a good division. We start with a good division. You got the Rays, the defending champs, the Yankees, the Blue Jays are on the rise. Obviously, the Orioles are not good.
But the Red Sox could.
I mean, they've got some players. We'll see what happens to them. What's the best division in baseball in your mind, though? Because Bryce Harper yesterday came out and said the NL East is the best division in baseball, and he doesn't, quote, think that's even a question. That the NL East is the number one division.
Pretty good division.
He's definitely not out of bounds in suggesting it. They are deep. Every team is pretty decent in the NL East. You can't really say that about any other division. Now, the NL West, very top heavy with the Padres and Dodgers this year, but I don't think the Rockies or the Diamondbacks or the Giants are going to be particularly good. The NL East, you got the Braves, who were a team on the rise. You got the Mets, who went out and did a ton this offseason. The Phillies didn't go the direction a lot of people thought. They continued to add, and you know, they re-signed Realmuto.
Yep.
And they, you know, they still have Bryce Harper, obviously. The Marlins made the playoffs, stunned everybody, made the playoffs last year. And the Nationals are just 2 years removed from winning a World Series. And you can kind of throw last year out the window a little bit, I think.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
a good division.
They have pitching. That division is, I mean, he called it a juggernaut. It's a juggernaut. I think that's a fair statement. In the National League, it's definitely the best division in the NL. Going to the AL.
It's not the AL West.
No, it's not the West.
It's not the Central.
It's not the Central.
So it's either the AL East or the NL East, and I kind of think that Bryce Harper's got
He's got a good point. Yeah. I saw people actually getting kind of mad about
now,
that.
Does that mean the World Series winner is coming from that division? Not at all. But in terms of depth and, you know, teams that are actually trying to win, you have five of them in that division. You can't say that about any other division.
Well, I mean, are the Marlins trying to
win,
or
did
they win?
They did win.
They did win. But I can't say that, oh, man, look at the moves they made in the offseason. I really don't know. We'll figure it out when we get to Miami in our Tier 1 tour. But, I mean, Atlanta's going to be great. Philly is that team that's supposed to be good. And the Mets, like you said, they've done a ton. They got guys getting healthy. And the Nationals still have really good pitching. You know, their offense, I think, is going to struggle a little bit, but they've got good pitching. So, yeah, it's going to be a battle in the NL East.
Did you see the odds came out on NL MVP and Cy Young Award winners this week?
I did not.
Yes. I'm sure you're curious to know where Fernando Tatis Jr. checks in. He was the fourth choice, according to betonline.ag. The favorite is Mookie Betts at 13-2. These are all very close, by the way, at the top. Cody Bellinger comes in second at 15-2. Then Juan Soto, also 15-2, and Fernando Tatis Jr. at 8-1 is the fourth choice currently in the National League. You go a little deeper, it's a very long list. Manny Machado, you could get at 18-1 to win the National League MVP award. And the only other Padre that pops on here, I believe you'd be surprised, is Tommy Pham at 80-1.
80-1.
You want to put a couple bucks on Tommy Pham to win the NL MVP?
You know,
award?
I'm very high on Tommy Pham.
How about the Cy Young, though? I like this. In the Cy Young category, every single potential top five Padres starter appears on this list somewhere. Yu Darvish is 9-1, tied with Max Scherzer, just behind Jacob deGrom and Trevor Bauer, who are your favorites right now. Go down a little bit further, though. Blake Snell is right behind Yu Darvish at 12-1, a former Cy Young Award winner himself. But Denelson Lamet is at 25-1. We've got Joe Musgrove at 50-1 and Chris Paddock at 66-1, which is just behind Zach Davies at 50-1, former Padre.
Old friend alert.
Yeah. Anyway, any interest in putting any money on any of those guys?
No.
I like Snell at 12-1.
I don't like Bauer.
It's 6-1.
I don't like Bauer leading that. I mean, it's him and who?
DeGrom.
I take Buehler over Bauer.
Bueller's 12-1. He's actually behind both Padres, Darvish, and Snell.
I mean, he's better than Trevor Bauer.
You think so?
Right?
Kershaw's 16-1.
God, I think that's right too there. High, too. You see me get the Dodger fans all upset yesterday on Bennett Woods Twitter?
Yeah, you don't have to do that.
All I said was can't relate, and they lost their minds.
Right.
Corey Seager did a presser, and they asked him about, hey, have you had any talks about, because he's going to be a free agent after the season. And he said, no, I haven't. Next question, essentially. And, you know, it's the old standard. I don't want contract negotiations to get in the way of my spring training and to be a distraction in the season. So next question. And all I said was can't relate. Because if you hadn't heard the news, our shortstop has signed
right
for 14 years.
Not a worry. And they all came back going, but we won the World Series or something
right
like that.
And okay. Why do you get so upset?
Dodgers fans are very, at least some of them are mad at Padres fans kind of feeling their oats a little bit here this offseason.
But why? Why would you care about little brother? Because that's what you say. You say little brother.
It bothers them, though.
A lot.
They think that we shouldn't be able to say anything.
Don't celebrate.
Until we've won the World Series.
Even if it's a short one.
Well, that was the one guy who said, making the playoffs doesn't count. It was a short season.
Well, I said, you're a Dodger fan.
But you just won the World Series.
So it doesn't count or it does?
Count.
They don't know what they're talking about. And that's
they want to get you both ways.
They really do. But I did. I broke one of my resolutions. I'm sorry. But all I said was can't relate. And they got so mad at me. It's going to be a fun year, man.
It is a good one.
We better win.
All right, Shooter McGavin, bottom of the hour. Real or fake, last chance to qualify for our grand prize drawing, because this is our last show in February. If you win, you will go into the hopper with just a handful of other names for a two-night getaway to the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Dial up here now or in a couple of minutes, 833-288-0973. That is coming up on Ben and Woods. Right now, let's check traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick.